This man went from being the seventh richest person in the world to having a net worth of minus $1 billion. Now, how does someone go and do a thing like that? Well, turns out the more you have, the more you've got to lose. And this guy lost much more than just money. So grab some popcorn as we dig into how, through a series of utterly insane twists, one man went from having over $30 billion in the bank to landing himself 30 years in prison without a penny to his name. This is the crazy story of Ikey Batista.
You're listening
to Be Amazed. So, who exactly is Ikey Batista, and how did he fall so far? Well, to get an understanding of the man behind this tale, first we'll have to take a trip back in time to the mid-20th century Brazil. Ikey Batista was born to Brazilian businessman Eliezer Batista and his German wife Jutta on November 3, 1956, in Minas Gerais, a Brazilian state famous for being the country's mining capital. Ikey's father set a pretty clear example of how to carve out some financial success working as an engineer at Vale do Rio Doce, one of Brazil's largest metal and mining companies, in 1961, aged just 36. And Eliezer made it to the top of the company as president, setting a precedent for accomplishment for his children. At the time, Vale do Rio Doce was a state-owned company, meaning that Eliezer was not only one of the top businessmen in Brazil, but also an important government figure. During his successful career, Eliezer spent time as Brazil's Minister of Mines and Energy in 1962, which provided him, and subsequently Ikey, with invaluable knowledge of the country's landscape of gold mines. This knowledge was something Ikey would come to use and indeed abuse in his adult years, but more on that later. In his childhood, Ikey, his mother, and his siblings moved from home to home around Europe, where Ikey began mapping out a path for his own future. In 1974, he followed in his father's mechanically-minded footsteps by undertaking a degree in engineering at Germany's University of Aachen. While studying, Ikey began making some extra money as a door-to-door insurance salesman, which was quite the baptism of fire for an inexperienced college student. However, Ikey took to peddling policies like a fish to water, and his natural charm made ceiling sales seem like child's play. The thrilling challenge of closing a deal not only provided Ikey with skills in business and negotiation, but it also seemed to spur on a desire to strike out on his own. It was expected that upon completing his degree, Ikey would begin a career at his father's company. However, part of Ikey's university course focused on metallurgy, the study of the technology and science of metal, which triggered some different plans in the young man's mind. In 1978, Ikey had begun to grow tired of his studies, and after stumbling across a magazine article about the Amazon gold rush happening in and around Brazil, his fate was sealed. It was here that he made a huge decision, one that would change the course of his life forever, leading him to unimaginable heights of wealth and unforeseeable depths of immorality and crime. In the early 1980s, Ikey made the drastic decision to abandon his studies and move back to Brazil with a plan to make it big. While Ikey hadn't completed his studies in metallurgical engineering, what he had learned gave him the necessary knowledge that would underpin his first solo venture. You see, in the 80s, the Amazon region of North Brazil was the scene of one of the most intense gold rushes in the history of the country. However, at the same time, the Brazilian economy was suffering badly from a stagnant, debt-ridden economy where the price of everyday things was rapidly increasing, drastically decreasing the value of cash. While you might think that would spell disaster for an emerging entrepreneur, for the golden-eyed Ikey, it was ideal. Historically, in times of economic crises, gold has been considered an inflation-proof investment thanks to its limited supply compared with cash, which means gold retains its value. You can print more cash, you can't exactly print gold. Thanks to this, gold was in high demand, and seizing the opportunity, Ikey became a dedicated gold trader. Ikey set up shop as a middleman between mines and gold buyers, buying gold directly from mining companies and selling it on to wealthy customers in Sao Paulo and Rio. Before long, Ikey had established an impressive network of 60 buyers across the country, as well as a backing of $500,000 from investors. This was a roaring success from the start, bringing in $6 million in profit after just 18 months, from which Ikey reportedly sliced a cheeky 10% for himself. Not bad for a 23-year-old. Armed with his golden reputation, Ikey spread his pockets full of gold abroad and purchased a small Canadian mining company, renaming it TVX Gold. Soon after, in 1984, Ikey founded the EBX Group, his future holding company under which he would organize all his future acquisitions and through which his successes and troubles alike would flow. But for now, it wasn't just the gold bars that were setting this tycoon's heart glittering. In 1991, Ikey married supermodel and Playboy centerfold Luma de Oliveira, the cherry on the cake to the life of any newly rich individual. But signs of Ikey's more devious and dishonest side were already beginning to emerge. At the time of their marriage, not only was Luma already pregnant, but unbeknownst to Luma, sly dog Ikey was still engaged to another woman, canceling that other ceremony just a week before it was due to take place. Savage. By the year 2000, Ikey had accumulated 8 gold mines across Brazil and Canada, as well as a silver mine in Chile, and his companies had generated a colossal $20 billion in value altogether. Thanks to Ikey's success, he earned himself the nickname King Midas, after the infamous mythological figure with a magical golden touch. Despite everything he touched seemingly turning gold, Ikey still wanted more and had dreams of becoming the world's richest man. But the higher you climb, the further you've got to fall. It seemed that Ikey's gold mines would run eternal, but the mining magnate came up against his first major hurdle to the top in 2001. While in search of new mines, Ikey landed on what looked like a great opportunity in Greece, but things didn't turn out quite as well as he'd hoped. Ikey was a natural risk-taker with a track record of charming his way into lucrative deals, but unfortunately, his passionate and somewhat aggressive approach was about to get him into trouble. Ikey's proposition for his new mining project didn't go down too well with the Greek government, and he ended up being denied the environmental license he needed to get started. Unfortunately, big-headed Ikey had already convinced investors to get in on his new scheme and had spent their money in preparation for his new mining project. Without an immediate way to make any of that money back, not only was Ikey left with a mountain of debt, but gold prices had plunged to the lowest Ikey had ever seen them. Back when Ikey started up in the early 80s, gold was worth a whopping $700 per ounce, but prices had now sunk to a mere $250 per ounce. Yikes. But the worst was yet to come. After his many missteps, in April 2001, Ikey found himself forced to resign as CEO and chairman of TVX and was no longer in charge of the company he founded. Not only that, but Ikey's marriage had hit breaking point and he found himself a fresh divorcee in 2004. But before you start feeling sorry for Ikey, tales of his previous dealings in gold mining were also starting to come to light. And they weren't pretty. News articles from the early 2000s reported that Ikey would go into the Amazon jungle and show the locals who worked in his mines 10-day-old newspapers reporting the price of gold. Meanwhile, the price had gone up, and Ikey knew it. Upon collection of the locals' freshly mined gold, Ikey would pay the chiefs the lower prices listed in the old newspapers and then sell the gold on for the more up-to-date and higher price. While Ikey had gotten used to his magic Midas touch, with unpleasant reports like those and others which cropped up hinted at some even shadier dealings, it might call the failure of his Greek mining project a bit of well-deserved karma. This setback should have served as a warning to change, but alas, Ikey was too busy planning his grand comeback. After disasters in both his professional and personal life, Ikey moved his attention away from gold and back to the umbrella company he'd started in his early years, the EBX Group. While there was no doubt that Ikey lost a lot of cash during the TVX debacle, two things he'd managed to hold on to were his charming salesmanship and his ability to spot an opportunity. The 2000s saw a spectacular boom in prices for commodities including oil, fuel, and metals, and while Ikey wasn't looking to get involved in gold again, he wasn't about to let the opportunity to rebuild his empire slip. Thanks to the commodities boom, the stock exchange was seeing a buying frenzy with global investors all too willing to loan millions to new commodity-driven businessmen just like Ikey. Thanks to Ikey's glittering showmanship, he was easily able to gain the trust of a whole host of investors with very full pockets, including global conglomerate General Electric as well as IBM. With a new plan in hand to get into as many industries as possible throughout the early 2000s, Ikey dipped his toes into various commodity markets, and with his private investors wooed with convincing promises of success, the money flowed in. Like EBX and TVX, each of these new businesses donned the letter X in their name, which Ikey said symbolized multiplying wealth. Keeping it humble, Ikey, I like it. And indeed, Ikey was soon multiplying his own wealth, pocketing profits from shares in a whole host of industries, from iron mining to shipbuilding to oil and gas. In 2008, Ikey finally broke onto the world's exclusive list of billionaires, having amassed a whopping $6.6 billion in personal wealth from his ever-growing collection of profits, bonuses, and shares. Ikey was now the 142nd richest person in the world, but it still wasn't enough, and the former King Midas was going to stop at nothing to get to the top. But at what cost? After riding the commodities boom wave of the 2000s, Ikey found himself 134 steps closer to his dream of becoming the world's richest man. Within just 2 years of breaking his way onto the billionaires list, Ikey had catapulted himself into the ranks of the top 10 richest men on Earth, placing 8th on the list in 2010 with a cool $27 billion to his name. By 2012, Ikey's personal wealth had soared to no less than $30 billion, and he was now the 7th richest man on the planet and the richest man in all of Brazil. While the titles alone were impressive, Ikey had also carefully crafted a larger-than-life persona with a lavish lifestyle to match his Brazilian heir status. In 2012, Ikey dropped an estimated $13.5 million on a lavish mansion in Rio's exclusive neighborhood of Jardim Botanico. The fantasy pad included not one, but 6 living rooms, one of which was even equipped with a glass door that allowed the mogul to drive cars straight into the house. Picture a showroom-style living room where a million-dollar Lamborghini sits behind the sofa like a family pet. Ikey also had a private jet, in fact, 3 private jets. Throw in Ikey's $10 million vacation home and you can start to see how this guy was rapidly becoming the living embodiment of excessive wealth. Ikey had even started running his mouth at the then richest person in the world, Mexico's Carlos Slim, bragging that he would soon replace him in the top spot of the richest man on Earth. He was quoted as saying, "Carlos Slim should clean both of his rear mirrors because I would not warn him on which side I was going to overtake him." So clearly, not a lot of humility there, but a whole lot of self-confidence. Not only that, but Ikey also boasted in 2011 that within 10 years he predicted his net worth would top $100 billion. But that glittering fortune was about to change dramatically.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly than we used to, but for a lot of people, taking that first step and actually asking for support can still feel surprisingly difficult. It's interesting how our attitudes can change while the pressure we feel from the world around us doesn't always keep up. That's something BetterHelp's latest research looked into. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. That's a pretty striking gap. We may believe therapy is a positive thing, but stigma can still stop people from reaching out. One of the best ways to change that is simply by normalizing the conversation, checking in with friends, encouraging people to seek support when they need it, and reminding each other that asking for help is a sign of strength, not weakness. BetterHelp has over 30,000 licensed therapists and has served more than 6 million people worldwide. If your first therapist isn't the right fit, you can switch to another at any time. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Unfortunately, it seemed that Ikey had refused to leave his aptitude for shady misdealings in the past, and reports of his more nefarious side continued to follow him. For starters, on his ascent to the Billionaires Club in the mid to late 2000s, Ikey's mining company, MMX, was fined several times for breaking environmental regulations. And then in 2008, the Tupi Guarani tribe accused Ikey's logistics company of attempting to force the group off their own ancestral lands. Despite the negative press, Ikey's wealth continued to swell for quite some time before the shadier aspects of his dealings caught up to him. The real trouble came in the wake of one huge claim that initially made Ikey extremely rich. In 2010, Ikey's fuel company OGX issued statements that they had uncovered what Ikey officially estimated to be $1 trillion of recoverable oil and gas deposits in Brazil. Needless to say, this was a very exciting claim from investors, as the gold man turned gas man promised investors the find meant OGX would be able to produce a whopping 750,000 barrels of oil per day. With the possibility of almost $60 million worth of oil being pumped out daily, it was a claim that skyrocketed OGX's market value to $19.9 billion. But little did Ikey realize that this great big gas bubble was about to burst for good. While Ikey had made grand claims that OGX would be able to pump 750,000 barrels of oil per day, the reality proved vastly different. When their operations properly began, they ended up delivering no more than 15,000 barrels daily, just 2% of what was promised. Ikey had borrowed billions to fund the development of his oil and gas ventures, the potential of which he had vastly overestimated, either through ignorance or more likely blatant lies. And with earnings from his measly oil production dwindling, Ikey was left struggling to pay off loans he'd secured on empty promises. And it wasn't just Ikey's gas and oil company that was slipping. In the months to follow, Ikey's mining company was slapped with a $1.8 billion fine for unpaid taxes, and his other companies were swamped with debt. Not only that, but Ikey had found himself in up to his neck in debt to some pretty serious people, including a $2 billion debt owed by EBX to none other than Abu Dhabi's royal family. In an attempt to make a dent in the sizable debts he was now faced with, Ikey was forced to part with most of the luxuries he'd enjoyed in his days as a Brazilianaire. It began with Ikey selling off his Embracer Legacy 600 private jet for a wallet-busting $14 million. But Ikey was in too deep and his net worth wasn't just sinking, it had begun evaporating completely. While his personal fortune had peaked at $30 billion just a year prior, his rising debts and the rapidly plummeting stock prices of his companies meant that by September 2013, his net worth had sunk to just $200 million. That unbelievable fortune-collapsing turn of events represented a jaw-dropping 99% loss for Ikey in just 12 months. In October 2013, OGX defaulted on a $45 million interest loan payment to investors, and just days later, Ikey's flagship company was declared officially bankrupt. By January 2015, Ikey had a personal debt of $1.2 billion, and with his estimated net worth at $200 million, that put him in the red by a staggering $1 billion. While Ikey had been used to glittering titles through his career from King Midas to 7th richest man in the world, Ikey had now earned himself the new rare title of Negative Billionaire. Authorities began seizing Ikey's assets, stripping him of all the signs of wealth he loved so much. Desperate to get back on top, Ikey desperately tried an endless stream of ideas, including, bizarrely, turning to the spirits to help him in his wealth woes, and in 2016 tossed $160,000 worth of gold coins into the ocean on the advice of a psychic and repentance for his actions. Well, I'm all for a bit of spirituality here and there. I think Ikey's $160,000 may have been better spent on his debts than on his conscience, but who knows? Maybe it worked out, right? Wrong. While Ikey seemed to have finally seen the error in his ways, it was far too late. If all the debt wasn't bad enough, karma had something even worse in store for Ikey. Something he couldn't escape from. While Ikey's skills and salesmanship had made him big bucks in the past, they were about to land him in some even bigger trouble. In 2014, federal prosecutors in Rio de Janeiro officially accused Ike of deliberately misleading investors when it came to how much oil OGX was going to be able to produce. While many of Ike's critics had suspected that OGX wasn't going to deliver the daily 750,000 oil barrels promised, Ike had promised to personally commit $1 billion to keep the company afloat. The problem was that Ike never followed through on this promise, and what was worse was that Ike had been accused of selling off his shares in OGX as soon as he realized things were heading south. This was labeled as insider trading, and it looked as though Ike had made a profit of around $95 million doing just that. With the accusations piling up, Ike found himself faced with real consequences for the very first time, being put on trial in Brazil's criminal courtrooms. In February 2015, a judge ordered police to strip the former King Midas of all his remaining assets in Brazil, including all seven of his supercars, boats, and planes. Police also took computers, watches, and over $32,000 in cash from Ike's home. But if you can believe it, Ike hadn't reached his lowest point just yet. As 2017 rolled around, Ike found himself caught up in yet more trouble when he was tied to yet more criminal dealings. In a twist no one saw coming, in January 2017, the name Ike Batista appeared on the world's most wanted list, and Ike found himself not only a negative billionaire, but an international fugitive. Ike's name had been on Interpol's most wanted list for no more than a few weeks when authorities tracked him down on a flight back from New York City. He was arrested the moment he stepped off the plane at Galileo International Airport in Rio. Federal police on the jetway in front of fellow passengers, the former seventh richest man on Earth, in handcuffs. While Ike had first made a name for himself from the gold mines along the Amazon River, he now found himself up a different river altogether with no paddle. Despite Ike vehemently denying the accusations, it was no use. In the decade prior, Ike had predicted he'd be the richest person on the planet by 2020. Instead, he found himself facing a potential sentence of 30 years in prison. From gold king to convict, the ex-billionaire now found himself heading behind bars. While awaiting the start of his new trial, Ike was detained at Bangu Penitentiary, a sprawling gray concrete complex on the outskirts of Rio, ringed with watchtowers and razor wire, baking in the equatorial heat. Think sweating walls, overcrowded cells, the perpetual noise of hundreds of dangerous men confined too close together. Not quite the penthouse suite in Jardim Botanico. And it was a far cry from the semi-luxurious treatment many of the wealthy elite receive when thrown behind bars. In some prisons, inmates are forced to have their heads shaved once they have arrived at their new hellish home to prevent the spread of lice, and unfortunately for Ike, Bangu was in favor of this kind of punishment. If the idea of living in a lice-infested prison wasn't bad enough, karma wasn't done with Ike just yet. Usually the more educated, wealthy prisoners like Ike are given their own private cell at Bangu, but the former King Midas wasn't granted this prisoner perk. The criminal code in Brazil states that only those with a university degree were eligible for private cells, and seeing as Ike dropped out to chase gold back in the 80s, he had to slum it like the rest. While Ike had grown up with six siblings, he now found himself sharing a cell with six inmates and amongst some of Brazil's most dangerous criminals. So yeah, if you want some advice from your old uncle, be amazed. Stay in school, kids, and stay out of jail. Conditions at Bangu were the grimmest of the grim, and thanks to overcrowding, many prisoners were forced to sleep on the floor, and even the mattresses were reportedly filthy and infested with bugs. In April 2017, after three grueling months in Bangu, Ike was released to live under house arrest until it was time to face trial. He was given this liberty on the judgment that his crimes were nonviolent and his being outside of prison was deemed unlikely to affect the outcome of his trial. Still, after a long courtroom face-off, Ike was ultimately found guilty of all charges of corruption and money laundering on July 3, 2018, and was sentenced to a whopping 30 years back behind bars. It looked like it was finally the end for Ike, but he wasn't going down without a fight. His lawyers battled constantly and managed to help keep him mostly out of jail while appealing his various sentences, though the law wasn't done with Ike yet. In September 2019, Ike found himself back on the hook again and was whacked with an additional sentence of 8 years and 7 months on charges of market manipulation. It looked like justice had finally been served, but crafty Ikey had one final golden hand to play. On March 24, 2020, it was announced that Ikey had struck a deal with the Brazilian authorities that had been after him all this time. The deal was that Ikey would serve just 4 years out of his 38-year sentence, serving it mostly under house arrest and pay back $160 million in damages. To win this highly desirable plea bargain, the ex-king of Brazilian capitalism had agreed to collaborate with prosecutors and feed them the information they needed to root out the corruption in Brazil's business landscape. It was essentially an agreement to rat out the other bad apples among Brazil's elite, and the deal was simply too good to pass up. After all, 38 years down to 4, who wouldn't take that deal? But with the 38-year original sentence aside, it's safe to say that Ikey had accumulated enough infamy to last at least 38 lifetimes. However, it seems that the ex-billionaire still isn't giving up on his ambitions. Amazingly, it's reported that Ikey is working from home on a grand scheme for his very own epic comeback. Not only does he continue to appeal his sentences, but the rumors go that he has plans to get involved in several projects, including a gas pipe linking Brazil to Paraguay, renewable energy and nanotechnology, as well as a new batch of, you guessed it, gold mines. While I'm all for a redemption arc, I'd say Ikey's got his work cut out if he really wants to turn things around and claw his way out of debt. And of course, there's the question of whether someone with Ikey's history even deserves another chance to become super rich. Once among the world's richest, Ikey Batista will likely be remembered for altogether more unpleasant reasons. With a rise of such epic proportions, you could say that it's only fitting that Ikey Batista's downfall was just as spectacular. After a dramatic web of corruption and scandal, it's remarkable to think that Ikey was once thought of as one of the greatest businessmen in the world. While there's no doubt that Ikey enjoyed major success, we now know that a lot of it came from cutting corners as well as some pretty nefarious dealings. It raises the question of how common these kinds of shady dealings are among the ultra-rich, and indeed whether deeply immoral deeds are in fact an inevitability along the path to becoming a billionaire. I'll leave that one up to you folks to decide. What do you make of Ikey Batista's rise and fall? Could you ever feel sorry for a criminal billionaire? Let us know on the comments if the platform allows, and thanks for listening.